Welcome to the Ether. Today's Thursday, January 19th, 2023. Today on the Ether, the Pulsar Finance AMA, hosted by Cosmos Haas. Let's take a listen.
Hello, everyone. How's everyone doing today?
Hey, Haas. What's up?
Not much, man. It's another day in paradise. Another day in the Matrix.
Ready for 2023.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good start. I would say at least 20 or so different teams already in this month, which has been pretty good, you know, like just private calls, some AMAs, things of that nature. But there's a lot of really good things coming out here in the next, you know, I would say within this quarter, there's a lot of things that are going to be coming out, especially in Cosmos. I mean, I do talk to other teams outside of IBC as well, but yeah, it's exciting. Like it's been you know, just head down, people building some cool things that I think are going to make the space a better place. It's going to make I always say customer experience, better customer experience, like for the end user and things like that. So it's exciting. I don't know necessarily if the macros are really improving. I'm not the biggest TA guy, but like I do look at charts and things like that. And like a lot of the prices of everything kind of around the pre FTX crash, and they're kind of just like, there's a lot of resistance there. So I don't know if it's going to push through or kind of like just either. I mean, I hope it would stay there at least around that area, but it looks like, you know, I've been looking at some things in the macro, and obviously, I think we aren't in the best spot right now for like market conditions, and it has nothing to do with crypto really. It's like, we're just kind of, you know, just a young market still. So it's not really crypto's fault per se, but, I do think the retracement was a little bit healthy because it got out a lot of people that were just like super over leveraged, a lot of central entities that were taking user funds and doing whatever the hell they wanted with it, which, you know, it has nothing to, again, it has nothing to do with crypto, but unfortunately we're like all the casualties of it. It's just like gives us a bad look when, you know, people do what they do. It's just been the same way forever. It's just, hey, let me give the central entity my money, and then they just do whatever with it and promise some sort of crazy yield on it. But it is what it is, I guess. I guess we can get started. So today, the space is going to be with Pulsar Finance. If people don't know, we will discuss like just conceptually what they are and like what's going on with them and some of their thoughts. And I'm always honored and grateful for people that tune in or listen to the recording afterwards. And, you know, it's really a passion of mine just to talk shop about crypto, more specifically Cosmos and IBC and things that are coming out. And also, it's always a shout out to those building tools and infrastructure to make crypto easier for the end user and just a better experience. So that's kind of what Pulsar is in a nutshell. It just makes it better. But how you doing today, Miguel?
I'm great, man. Yeah, the start of the year has been crazy. I saw markets coming up a little. I saw some excitement on our end, like a lot more users came to our dashboard. That was funny. Like December and the past few months, our traffic was significantly, it was always increasing, but comparing to this month, like it exploded. I mean, everyone saw a little bit of spike in their tokens, and they just kept to track them. Like that dopamine you can take out of users, right?
Oh yeah, certainly. I mean, I know like myself, I spend a lot of my time in life on Twitter, which is crazy because I never would have even thought of that a couple years ago. I didn't even have a Twitter until, I think really when I started tweeting out things was about Thanksgiving of 21. So a little over a year now. You know, it's crazy to even think about it. It's, you know, like I spent a lot of my life on it. So obviously when the market's doing better or there's more positive energy vibes, it's a lot easier for me to do things because, like, as much as people or myself as an investor, I don't really get too shook about like conditions like this. It's just more of an opportunity. And if you're convicted of like tech, and I'm old enough to remember, you know, like when Amazon was just a freaking bookstore and, you know, and they all got their start off and it wasn't unfamiliarized for them to take like a huge, like 80% haircut, like just like out of the thin air, just like crypto does. And it's because it's a young market, speculative, and tech always does. I mean, you can even look right now at like the big players in the space and, you know, they got smacked around a little bit too. So it's just, it is what it is. But at the end of the day, tech always improves. It always, you know, it's always improving. It's always be, you know, pushing the envelope, so to speak, of innovation and things like that. And it's going to be the same way with crypto. Crypto is nothing more than just futuristic and new technology that we're still super, super early. But yes, to kind of like throw in my thoughts, it's always better whenever the markets at least has some positive movement, because for a while it was really morbid. And unfortunately, you know, when a gun gets tough, a lot of people kind of stick around just to, you know, be negative or just kind of have bad thoughts about things. And it's always welcoming to me whenever the market's doing better. So I open my doors wide open for some positive mojo, so to speak.
Yeah, I feel the same. I mean, I've been in Twitter more often lately, and the crypto Twitter is just much more alive. And I feel the same thing, to be honest. I have a funny question for you. I heard it the other day on a podcast. It made me wonder a little bit. Do you feel that crypto is like a niche thing? So if you had to let's put it on a scale right first. So the interviewer was like, there's three type of adoptions, right? There's no adoption, like, for example, that common language that everyone tried to put in, like, universal language. I don't remember the name. There was, like, the mass adoption, like the internet had. And there was, like, the product that kind of was niched, but still had some adoption and still useful, like Linux. So if you look at crypto this way, do you feel that will be always a niche, or do you feel that we're going to get mass adoption like the internet had?
I mean, right now it's definitely a niche. Like, I say it all the time. It's basically this technology right now is really built for tech enthusiasts, but I'm also old enough to vividly remember when everyone, literally everyone that was confused or just didn't spend the time to like understand what the internet was, called it a scam and just a fad. Like everyone, even this is like, I feel like I'm getting old, but I mean, the year 2000 doesn't seem like that long ago to me, although, you know, I guess it is. But everyone was calling it like a scam and a fad and just like, you know, just some nerds and stuff like that. It wasn't going to do anything. And I mean, if you think about it, I would honestly say that the internet was the most disruptive invention probably ever, one of, you know. And what I mean by disruptive is, like, when I think of the word disruptive, I think of a thing that alters humanity. Like, and practically, there's over 8 billion people on the planet. And I don't know how many of those billions of people have a smart device, like a smartphone or an iPad, or it doesn't matter where your geographical region is, you know? I mean, yeah, there are people that aren't just because of their financial wherewithal. However, I mean, at this point in time, I mean, it kind of created this like borderless society where everyone can kind of partake in it. And now crypto's taken that a step up And it's like, well, now you can save money, or you can buy Bitcoin, and or you can prove your identity, because there's a lot of people, you know, maybe in this space that don't realize like how many people, you know, they have nothing, or they couldn't save anything, or it's unsafe where they live at, and their currency gets inflated to crap, and they don't have any way of like saving anything. So I know, like, I'm an American, so a lot of people in America don't realize that. But I mean, one of the positives about what I do is I get to speak to people from all over the world, and it's already changed like so many people's lives, like more so than Americans, you know, because Americans are, I don't know, I guess we're a little bit entitled, and we don't like think, we have this like cavalier attitude. It's like America's number one, we're the best. And like, and people like don't think about other people outside of America a lot. I'm not saying everyone in America is like that, obviously, because I'm not, but there's been so many people, and I think crypto right now is more so adopted and used by other regions, other developing countries and things like that. So to answer your question, like right now, yeah, it's kind of a niche, but do I think it gets mass adopted? Yes. And there's quite a few reasons. Like my background is in the financial sector. I've been an accountant, and I realize like how many intermediaries there are, and I'll call them leeches, like how many leeches there are in the world that like make money for doing nothing. All they do is they just like, oh, well, we're going to accept this transaction, but we want this kind of fee. And your family's from Mexico, and you come over to America and you work, and then you want to send back, you know, peso, you want to send back USD or pesos or whatever. Well, we're going to have this conversion rate, and we're going to smack you in the head with it. Or like, hey, let's use Western Union and pay all these fees. It's like, it's insanity. And now it's like everyone has a phone, a smartphone. It's like you can just send, it's basically just sending data, just like an email, like, hey, I'm going to send you this. And now you have this sort of, you know, worth just on your phone, and you don't have to pay all these crazy astronomical fees. So like, that's going to get adopted. It already kind of is. And then like for financial players, like people that have big money, yeah, right now they're not really in this space because there's really no oversight or regulatory compliance. And as much as it's like, I don't like those type of entities, because it's like, who decides what's this and that's that? And usually at the end of the day, that all comes down to like how they're going to benefit from it. And I don't think yet they figured out a really big way of like how they can truly benefit from it. So like, that's my thing. I'm not like this conspiracy theorist, but I have experience with government and things of that nature, and they'll eventually get into the game. I don't know how long it's going to take, but we do need them, because like people that move the markets they're not consumers. They're the big players, and they'll figure a way to make money off of this. And once they do, then the floodgates open up. You know, it becomes this another part of the S&P 500 or its own like index fund, where people could just, you know, look at it as just a normal investment. I don't know how long we are from there. Like, I think potentially within 5 years or so, but it all depends. I mean, the unfortunate part in society for the most part is like all the developed countries. I hate to say it, and I'm not like this anti-age person that's like, oh, old people, but like at the end of the day, old people run the world. Old people don't understand technology. They can barely use Web 2. So it's like they kind of, slow down innovation. And they're like Web 2. And if you think about it, I'll just use America as an example. Most politicians have their hands in the cookie jar when it comes to, you know, like these Web 2, you know, giants like Google and all that. Like they have their hands out. They're getting money for their funding and their campaigning. And in return, you know, who knows what's going on with user data, but like, you know, that's a huge part of it. And so I don't know, like, it's hard to say right now. Niche, do I think I'm optimistic? I'm always optimistic about the long view of things. I think like tech is so disruptive that over time it just gets adopted. It gets mass adopted. And I always ask myself, will there be more people in crypto exactly this time 1 year from now or not? And I always have this, the thought of yes. So it's just like this network effect that you build that just happens, you know, like Facebook. I remember my college that I went to was one of the first colleges, universities that had thefacebook.com. And I was one of the first people to ever use Facebook ever. And it just started off as this like small little, basically a chat where you can like, it was weird. You poked like your classmates because it's like, oh, I see that person in my, you know, whatever course that you were taking. So you would poke them to like send a message like, hey, do you know the answer to this? Or would you like to study or whatever, you know? And then now it's like, it became this gigantic, you know, I mean, entity really. So slow and sure, I think we're going to get there. To long story short, so to speak.
Yeah, I also share the same opinion as you. I think it might take longer. Not sure, like mentioned, the macro right now is kind of fucked, and I'm not sure what the Fed will do. But yeah, I'm pretty excited to what's happening right now in Cosmos, and not only in Cosmos, but on a few chains as well. But yeah, I would love to dive into Cosmos and to try to understand what are you most excited about. I'm definitely more excited about Say than anything else. I know they're really close to launch, and we actually have been in contact with them to deploy Pulsar Finance as soon as they're close to launch. So we'll be ready once they go live. So yeah, I wanted to get your take on what are you most excited about, not only app chains launching, but also projects and proposals.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'm always excited about Cosmos. Like, Cosmos, like, mentality and, like, the communitarian move is kind of, like, it just resonates with me. One of the chains that I haven't really been up to date with and you know, just, like, really super active in is, like, the Secret community. And what I like about Cosmos is you can think of it as like a bunch of different sovereign nation states, but like each other have each other's backs. And like some, you know, each country has its own philosophies and things that they do. And maybe you don't like it if you live in another country. So we'll just consider that another, you know, blockchain. But at the end of the day, we all speak the same language. We can understand what one another are saying, whether we like that point of view or not is a different story. But the freedom of expression, like the freedom of choice, the freedom of like, there's no gatekeepers, and then like the freedom of security. It just feels like I feel safe in Cosmos, right? Like, I do partake in other things outside of Cosmos, like Polygon. I do like Polygon, but they're even using Tendermint, you know, their own modified version. They call it Peppermint, but I just see like a future where every blockchain just enables IBC, because like it's already proven centralized bridges just don't work in the long scheme of things. There's too many vulnerabilities, and like with like Merkle proof and different things with IBC and how it's always being worked on and always being improved. And again, we all speak the same language, so like there's so many people building cool things that are brilliant individuals, and you know, the communication behind under the hood, we'll call it, is great. Like all these guys are speaking, you know, men and women are speaking with one another, and they stay on top of things. Like even with like the Binance situation, like people were like, hey, it's on you because you're not, you know, you didn't update your code. Like things get updated, right? Like you have a Windows, you know, like say you're running Windows. Why do you think Windows has updates, right? Like, because there's vulnerabilities. There's some random virus that some idiot made, and like they see it and they just patch it up, right? And like Cosmos is completely decentralized in that manner, you know, especially like on Juno, like people can just build whatever the hell they want to build on Juno. And people are like, well, why isn't it done this yet? Well, it's literally just a year old. It's a complete new language and it takes time. It reminds me of like the old days of like when Solidity first started and Ethereum, and guys are just like building things and kind of learning as they go and communicating with one another. And then there will be libraries, and it's already getting to that point where it's easier for newbies that's building in Cosmos to deploy like cool things and smart contracts and things like that. So I'm just excited for Cosmos because I see it from already established like dApps on Ethereum or just like chains in crypto where they want exposure to Cosmos because it's just like it's the place to be, really. And, it, yeah, and
we're not BYDX, yes. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Like DYDX, like, you know, there's just like all these entities are like, we want to get a part of that. And like, again, it's not like when the thing I think about with crypto, like newer users and people that are already in crypto, but maybe they're just like, they're stuck on their monolithic point of view. Like, all right, I love Sol and I'm always sticking to Solana. Well, that's cool. You know, I'm not saying there's always going to be those types of people, but I think in the general consensus of like crypto people right now, obviously it's a small percentage of human beings, but the ones that are in it, like a lot of them, like when they think of the word cosmos, they probably automatically just put Adam to it, right? And like, it's not really the way I view it. I think of cosmos as just like the new internet, like the new ways of like communication between blockchains, just like the internet, you know, how go on one website, go to another, it just works. Like you don't need the IP address. You just have this like human readable name. And I think we'll get there too with human readable names. Like instead of you having this, you know, I want to send you some Osmo and I get it. You got to send me over your Osmo. It'll just be Miguel or whatever, you know, Miguel.osmo. And it's like your name. It's like you own this. So it'll improve. And it's just awesome to see it because I'm not like a super OG in crypto. I really got my feet wet, really. Like I understood it and kind of messed around beforehand, but really when I took the deep dive and kind of just cemented my place in crypto and learning a lot was like when COVID happened. So, you know, I can't say like, oh, I remember back in 2017 and all this other stuff, but I can see from when I got in and right around when Osmosis launched, when I got into Cosmos, like the growth and development between different apps and Cosmos and just like what it is now. And hell, if you even go on Osmosis and see all the different tokens listed on there, it's crazy. It's amazing. So,
yeah, but that touches another point that I've been thinking a lot lately. I mean, it's amazing when you have all these developers experimenting, a lot of apps, a lot of app chains, a lot of different projects. But when it comes to the end user, right, how does this play out? How do you see the user experience on a Cosmos like in 5 years' time? How do you picture that? Like super high level, how do you picture someone onboarding to Cosmos and just exploring all the different options and feeling safe and not getting out of the funnel? I've thought a little about this, but wanted to pick your brain on it.
It's really hard to say because like I'm not the biggest phone user. Like I only really use my phone for like doing Twitter spaces. But I realized that a lot of people in the world, they don't have like PCs and things like that. And I think as like phones evolve, which they will, because if you think about a phone, right, like how much better does a phone need to get? Like we can do like I have an iPhone 10, like SE. It's old. But it does everything, right? I can do emails, I can do Twitter spaces, I can check my Telegram if I'm on the road. I can do everything on it. But they'll keep pushing the envelope to like improve it. Like sometimes it might just be more efficient, faster, more powerful, you know, things like that. So like there'll be a future where people can run nodes and do things directly on their phone or like verify transactions. And I just think, you know, like everyone eventually will get into crypto because it could be, you know, like in like Cosmos, for example, you can just build a chain, right? And just have it specifically for gaming. That's all it is, like this app chain for gaming. And you can do anything on it, right? And what's so great about Cosmos is the way that it really is like a vehicle, like a car. And, you know, like if you own a car over time, you have to take it to the shop and get worked on. You know, you may need just like random things. You may need new spark plugs. You may need a new exhaust. You may need whatever, new brakes and rotors. And it's kind of like the same thing with Cosmos is like you can build this chain and over time you just have to upgrade it. And like it just becomes more efficient. It comes better. It comes, you know, and I don't know, like right now we're over 60 chains on Cosmos. Like, and what that is, it's not like something built on top of one another. It's literally sovereign nations. It's like a country, right? And they're all just connecting over. And then like in that country, you can build things, or if you want to call it a planet, you can have different things built on it. So like it brings flexibility for everyone, whether you're a user or a developer. And I just think like how tech is, like my experience with technology is it always improves. So like I think as like the efficiencies of like PCs and games, or not games, but your mobile devices, that's also going to just have an effect on crypto as a whole and make it even a better and more efficient, more secure place as well. So like, I don't know really if that answers your question, but I am very optimistic, like on the long view of crypto and tech and things like that. And I know sometimes people get caught up because it's like, oh, they see all these people, you know, they bought Ethereum at $50 or they got Bitcoin back in like, you know, 2013 or 14 or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, they were obviously really early to the game, but in fact, I mean, we're just super early still because we're nowhere near where this can be. You know, it took a long time. I mean, you can even look back, you know, like in the early 90s. I've been doing that lately because I remember the early 90s like it was just yesterday now because I'm getting old, I guess. But, you know, all these sites created their own domains in like 93 and 94. And it took them time, you know, and they had a lot of money behind it. It took them a long time. And, you know, maybe that takes my view out longer. Maybe it takes 10 more years to get crypto to be super mass adopted with, like, it's just everyone uses it, you know, like they don't even know they're using crypto. It's just another day of their life. Like they're just in this, like, and you know, they're in this micro economy because they're playing, you know, the next Fortnite, and this next Fortnite, you can take all these currencies and like move it over, or like you can swap your Atom token for, you know, an Amazon gift card. And it's that simple. Like maybe we get there at one day. I think we do.
Yeah, to be honest, I completely agree with you. I think like I've been pretty bullish about gaming being one of the main propellers for crypto, but I also think that not only gaming, but the creator economy is going to explode this. I think there have been a few ways, a few tools that, and a few dApps that have tried to create creator tokens and creator economy, but I think none of them had the right incentive. I think once you get that far right, there's so much fees on top of a creator, right? On YouTube, they get 50%. On any streaming platform, they are stealing creators from their attention. So if you can get an economy right for the right creators, they will move all their audiences to some support type of crypto. I'm not sure if that will be on a mobile device, not sure how it's going to be, if it's plugged in and abstracted away. I'm not sure how it's going to be, but I think that sector is one of the things that I'm pretty bullish on in the long run. We've been watching how it, I've watched like one of the talks, I think it was, not sure if it was on Bankless, but it was from Li Jin. She was talking about the history of creator economy, and it just resonates to me, like all these influencers and the way it worked on, like from the TV to the blog space to content creation, YouTube, and now I think the next step will get creators more close to their audiences. And yeah, for me, that's going to be one of the main propellers. I know that Solana was working like on a Solana mobile. I think that was quite interesting and quite innovative. But I think like Cosmos has a lot of potential in the sense that anyone can just build anything and that will integrate with the rest of the ecosystem. And I think that part, no one can take it away from them. I think Polkadot tried to make something similar, but I think the economic side of it was not so attractive. And they are trying to change it and adapt it right now. But yeah, once you look at the different styles of chains, I think Cosmos is one of the most interesting when you compare alternatives for projects to build on top of.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one of the chains that I haven't really kept up with, but I do invest in it from time to time, and I have a bag that's just like the way I get to. As like an investor, and this is not financial advice for anyone listening, but what I do, especially with Cosmos, since it's so easy to get some exposure to whatever chain, is like Bitsong. And Bitsong's whole narrative and play is like they built this infrastructure, like you're just speaking, and I mean they have artists already on it, you know, and like the artists have their own fan token, and people and like for them it makes sense because it's like, why try to like compete on YouTube, and then like you were saying, all these different fees that they like, again, like leeches and intermediaries, and that's one of the reasons why I'm really bullish on crypto in the long term. And then like Cosmos takes it to another level, right? It's like you know, some of these monolithic structures, yeah, they might be a little bit funded right now because they're VC heavy, but eventually VC money just kind of runs out and they dump, and then now you're back to square zero anyways. Like, you're back to square one, so to speak. And like Cosmos, for the most part, takes a different approach. Yeah, do they get some VC money? Yes, but usually it's specifically for like people that are already in this space or really believe in this space. And so it takes more of a slow and steady approach, and not as like this real hype thing. Like, okay, let's hype the shit out of this. We got, you know, $100 million seed round from X, Y, and Z, and now they have all this money just to throw around and like put the cart before the horse. You know, like that's a lot of these chains do, and crypto as a whole kind of does that. They like put the cart, and like that's a common phrase in America. I don't know, like maybe it's not anymore. I'm just getting old. It's like an old timer thing, I guess. But you know, you need a horse before you have a cart to go travel. So it's like, you know, and like a lot of these structures, they're just building things that aren't ready infrastructurally like that. And Cosmos, they take it to another step, because it's like, you know, if you can own your own land, right, in life, like, why wouldn't you just want to own your own land instead of having this person that's like, hey, pay me rent every day or every month. I need, you know, $500 a month for you to own that piece of land over there. Well, why wouldn't you just buy your own land and maybe have a little bit of fee, but not like, you know, someone's really profiting off you. So like with app chains, you just build your own land. You have your own land. And then you can just have things on it, and then those people can partake on it, you know. And that's kind of like what BitSong's doing with like musicians and artists and stuff like that. So to kind of add to that comment, I truly do. I say it all the time. I think like gaming and music and artists and content creators would be the next wave in bringing over millions and millions of people that use crypto every day. Because yeah, it's one, it's hard out there to get exposure. And two, when you do, like all these people kind of just leech off of you. So now you get more money back in your pockets, more. And not only that, the people on the other end, the users feel more engaged and more a part of it. You know, like I know when I first started using crypto, it's like I felt more involved, you know, like I own stocks and stuff like that. It's like, how much do I have to say, like when I own a, you know, Amazon stock or Google stock, like, what do I don't have anything. Like, I can't make a difference. I can't be involved. I can't do anything. Right. You know? And like in crypto, it feels like you can own, you know, like $100 worth of, like, I don't know, Osmo, or, you know, $10,000 worth of Osmo. And you have like a say, like you're a part of the community, like people are engaged. So I think over time that just becomes just a common thing in crypto.
Yeah, I completely agree. To be honest, we already have BitSong inside our portfolio manager. I think also portfolio managers will be a huge presence, not presence, like part in the future of crypto, right? I was thinking about it last night. I was writing a piece, and I was looking at TradFi, right? If you look at what happened the last 20 years, it was super easy for the last 10 years, at least. It became super easy for anyone with a smartphone to start investing in their favorite stocks, right? And it's so cool that, for example, when I open my eToro or Robinhood accounts or anything, I can just go to the app. So if I'm looking at customer success journey, right? I go to, I open the eToro account. I deposit my fiat quite seamlessly into this account. I can then see different opportunities. I can search for different type of opportunities across different stocks in different categories. So after this, I can look at their financials on the same app. And on this same app, I can invest and sell. I can buy, sell, get dividends. So when I look at supporting crypto projects, I also look at this. And right now, I feel that a lot of users that go through the funnel of crypto get lost in this funnel, right? So they either search something on Google, and then they go to the osmosis, and then they learn they have to download a wallet, or they start with a wallet, but then they don't know what to invest in. So I feel that the funnel is not built properly. I feel that there's a lot of projects, and there's a lot of UIs, and that people will get lost somewhere in the middle, or find it confusing, or just quit. And until we get this funnel right, I think we might need to change some things. And at Pulsar Finance, I feel that we are now trying to tackle that first part. We were always looking at portfolio tracking as the first and core mission, right? But we always looked beyond. And what I realized lately is that we have to include all the different steps of the user experience, right? If a user goes to Pulsar, it should be able to on-ramp like on a SEX or on a broker on the stock market, right? It should be able to use Kado Money or any other on-ramping tool to on-ramp easily into the platform. Then you can easily search or download a wallet, or if it was a built-in wallet, it would be even better, right? If your smartphone was already with a built-in wallet in the browser or something like that. But from there, you can search different projects on the different types of ecosystems. So you could browse in what you're kind of looking for, or you can have like some learning on the different projects if you didn't know anything about it. Then you can go through the different analytics of this project and then try to find users to also invest or advice on this project, some news. You can then research a little and go through the rabbit hole, right? Not needing to leave the website, because I feel that the customers get lost when they go through all these different websites with all these different namings, with all these different UIs. All this is breaking the user experience and people get afraid, they don't invest. And I feel that when people invest also raises not only confidence in the projects, but that their treasuries get higher. They can build more, they can become more sustainable. And I think that's really crucial for the future. If we had made this our priority, I feel that SEXs would not grow so much. FTX would not have been so big. Celsius is the same. They try to abstract everything into a single app. That's why Binance is so big as well. It's simple. You can go there, you can learn, you can buy, you can stake, you can comment and talk with other users. You have a social media happening inside, follow and copy trading. All this is happening in one single app. There's no need to go outside. You can withdraw or deposit fiat there. I feel that portfolios are going to become more relevant in the long term. Just because of this, there's a whole flow you don't want to break if you want DeFi, at least DeFi, to succeed. And if you look at CeFi or traditional brokers, that's exactly what happens. There's like this whole perfect flow that tries to avoid the user from losing their attention or confidence in the projects they are looking at. It's so easy to just invest or sell or do anything. And yeah, I mean, we started building Pulsar Finance with an idea in mind, but then we looked at the whole flow and how the fragmentation and how the crypto experience is fragmented. And I feel that right now we have to address that. Cosmos is scaling so much, like you're saying. I feel that Cosmos is like on the same type of scaling that Ethereum was like 3 years ago. And it will scale even further because on Cosmos, everyone is, like you mentioned, propelled to build on different nations. So I'm not sure how can we tackle this as an industry, but I feel like centralized dashboards will be a huge part of it. Not only ours, but more educational ones that onboards users. I feel wallets should have more data and not focus only on displaying the wallet balances or swaps. I think that's not the end experience of a centralized exchange. And that's not what we should be building. Protocols should focus more on the tech, and dashboards should focus more on the user experience and UI. And okay, Osmosis has an amazing UX, yeah, for DeFi users. But what about normies who just want to, okay, I learned about this, how do I buy it? They have to go to three different websites, download the Kepler extension, then deposit. There's so many steps you have to do still. There's no like central place to learn, deposit, buy, and sell on one single spot. That's what I feel is missing as we scale as an industry. I feel we should put more weight in these kinds of tools.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I've reiterated those same sentiments multiple times, you know, not taking your thunder away, but again, it comes back to like we put the, you know, the cart before the horse. And I kind of understand it like structurally and business-wise, because, you know, all those things and those customer, we'll just call it to improve customer experiences, it's not like really like a lucrative proposition for the person building it. So it's a little bit more difficult and challenging, because at the end of the day, the people that are building these things, right, they all have bills and things like that as well. So, you know, they're building things that can potentially bring back money quicker, or what have you. So like, that's kind of like the philosophy, because even with like wallets and things like that, there's a lot of friction. And that's what brought me back to my earlier point that right now we're just in this like fad where it's really for tech enthusiasts. And like my background being in finances, you know, most normal human beings have zero clue about finances, right? Like they just don't. Maybe they work really hard. They work 50, 60, 70 hours a week, and they have, you know, some financial wherewithal saved away. And at the end of the day, like the limited time that they have, they don't want to learn anything. Like literally, they don't want to learn anything, like nothing. I don't care if it's with crypto or just life in general. They just don't have time. So they're really out of the game when it comes to that. So like their thing is like, here's my money, I just want a return. So that's why like centralized exchanges in places like you're speaking about will, you know, it's easier for them because they don't want to learn this. I mean, they can barely use the computer as it is. And let's just face it, most people on planet Earth that actually have money and have money to invest are people that are older. And, you know, not putting everyone into one shoebox, so to speak, but mostly older people just don't want to learn. It's just from my life experiences. You know, like with my job that I had, we were always on the computer every single day. Like one of my, I mean, you need to know the computer, right? And I worked with a lot of older people that every single time we had some new update or we're changing software or whatever, it would take them forever. And not only forever to learn it, sometimes they would just never learn it. And it was like to the point where I was the guy at work that couldn't get any work done. Because everyone was harassing me about like, how do I do this? And it was just like rudimentary things on a computer. It's just like you would think, no pun intended, through osmosis, you would just learn it, right? Like, all right, I just did this 15 times already. Like maybe it'll stick in my brain and I'll be able to do the same task that I need to do every single day, but they still wouldn't get it. And, you know, and it's kind of like the mentality, you know, and I think what you're saying is completely accurate, that DEXs should just build like really cool shit and then either have grants or some sort of way to like incentivize people out there that specifically just build things to make it like better. So like Pulsar for people out there is really a great place. Like it's a really good place where you can see all your wallet, like basically all your crypto and like your portfolio and all that. Well, like these teams should say, okay, like we'll just throw you guys under the bus. Like let's give you an X amount of grant. And what we want you to do is interact with the smart contract. So like the person that comes on your protocol can literally pretty much do everything that they could do on Osmosis or whatever. We'll just use Osmosis for an example. And they could do swaps, they can stake, they can compound. Hell, you guys can even have like, you know, it would be permissioned by us. We'd have to like review it, but you know, you guys can have like documentaries or mediums or just like little things that like help the person learn on the other end. And like technically they would never have to go to Osmosis, and it would still benefit Osmosis because the transactions are still happening, right? Like the person's stake in Osmo would still get some sort of kickback because your people are doing things in the Osmo token or whatever. So like I do agree with that. And the thing needs to be, the priority needs to be in this space is like it needs to be all decentralized, you know, like DeFi. Like, let's get these people, you know, off of just the centralized exchanges and doing all these trades. Let's get them over to DeFi. Because again, at the end of the day, that just helps benefit every single user, whether you have, you know, 10 Atom or 1,000 Atom or one ETH or half an ETH or whatever. It should just be all people just participating in this like game, this game, right? Like we're all participants. And then that takes out the human element, right? Like, because whenever there's humans involved, and it's always been like this since day one of humanity, and it probably will be like it you know, 1,000 years from now, that humans, when they're involved, unfortunately, you know, when money's on the line, they do things that they shouldn't do. And not everyone, but a lot of people do. So like when you have like the central point where people can just put their park their cash on it, and then really, like they say, not your keys, not your crypto, they could just do whatever the hell they want with it, take these risky investments on, over leverage, and just to make an extra, you know, extra buck at the end of the day. And we've seen all these places fail, you know, they all failed because they're acting like prime brokers and they're not really doing the right things for the space. And again, at the end of the day, that just gives like a bad look, you know, because I'm really active in crypto. I don't tell anyone in my family or friends like, hey, I'm Cosmos Haas, but I do say like, yeah, I'm in the crypto. And they'll be like, oh, like, did you hear about this? Like my uncle contacted me. What happened? Like, you know, when the FTX thing happened. And I'm like, it has nothing to do with crypto. It's just human beings being greedy, doing wrong things. And so, yeah, I mean, this space does need to do a lot better. I think it's starting to improve. Just the gap of knowledge. And then there's like people out there like Sommelier, like you can, hey, I here's 10K and I want this kind of investment strategy. And then they do all the work and they just take like a small service fee. Cause that's kind of like the future of finance. Cause like, again, the people that are making a lot of money or have a lot of money, they just don't have time to sit here like we do and hop on a Twitter space for an hour, just bullshit about crypto and like learn things. They just don't. And if they do, they just don't want to do it. And I get it, you know? So that's the big part of it is, you know, the education and just the easy user adaptability for people. Like they just want to be like, all right, I own X, Y, and Z. Like how much, you know, what I bought in for this much and how much is it up or how much is it down? And that's all they're going to care about. So.
Yeah, I completely agree. I feel that we still have to work a lot as an industry. That's why I say I'm not expecting it to change like and to get massively adopted so soon. But yeah, I feel that dashboards, not only portfolio managers, but like informational dashboards with onboarding. I feel that there's a lot of good tools out there that have been doing that for specific ecosystems. But I feel that the spaces are so broken down into little pieces. Even on Cosmos, I feel that there's still a lot of fragments. And you might know what's happening on Kujira or on Osmosis, but then there's a whole new learning layer if you want to understand what's happening on Injective or on any other of these chains. But yeah, touching now on this fragmented issue, I feel that we've talked a little about this, and I've mentioned what we see at Pulsar as a solution for the long run, but would love you to give me a few of your ideas as a user, or by not a normie, but as a more heavy user. How do you feel that we could improve your experience, or maybe potential use cases that you can see using Pulsar Finance in the future, right? Really brainstorming out here.
So kind of touched on it before, but like I know for me, and it's not me like flexing or anything, I have 4 monitors and I have all these different browsers up, and each browser or virtual machine that I have on my computer acts like a computer within a computer. So like I have all this information and access to like all this data instantly and more efficiently than someone that's using their phone or whatever, or just has one monitor. And even with myself and being very experienced in this space, I find data just so like we're using the word fragmented, like it really fragmented. So wouldn't it be nice if I could just be like on one place, right? And just have everything in front of me and not have to sit here and like click, you know, a bunch of tabs and try to find stuff. And I can't tell you how much time that I just waste each day, like trying to find stuff. And like, again, this comes from someone who has 4 monitors, very experienced. I literally do this 12, 15 hours a day, pretty much 5-6 days a week. So being able to do like everything on one place, like a centralized exchange, you know, that was one of the things. You could do all these trades, and then I don't know if you're trying to get your own crypto off, if they're going to let you or not, but you can do everything kind of on one spot. So it's like very convenient. So I just think like the conveniency of things would needs to improve. You guys are doing a good job, you know. I think with interchain accounts coming out, so for people that don't realize what that is, it's like being on one sovereign blockchain, right? And you could just do a transaction without having to know, like, okay, well, the data is being sent from this blockchain to that blockchain. I got to wait. And then once it gets over there, I got to go over on this website and then do this and that. Like, that's kind of the way interchain accounts is going to be. Like, you could just do a transaction. You could be on this one planet over here and do a transaction over on that planet. And like all the, like the under the hood will do all that work for you. And there's nothing to worry about. It's very secure. It's permissionless. Like it's the way that we need to get there. And I think that also will like really substantially make the user, it's just more user friendly. And once that gets there, then that's going to be a good thing for the whole eco, so to speak. I don't know, like, it's hard too, because like people that want to like participate in other blockchains that aren't IBC enabled, it's a little bit of a learning curve, you know. Sometimes I'll find out about a new project or something new on whatever chain, like if it's like Phantom or whatever, and it's like, now I got to go over here, learn. It's like learning a new language. It's like I got to go do all this, and it takes hours. Again, and I'm experienced. Like if someone's not experienced, it's going to probably take two times the amount of time to learn it. And then you got to learn all this stuff, right? And then it's like, I know myself, I've been scammed before on different things in crypto that I wasn't really familiarized with. And it's like, oh shit, I won't do that again. I remember Solana. I was real tired one night and there like came on my, you know, my Phantom wallet. You would think like stuff that comes up on your Phantom wallet is like legit, right? It'd be like Kepler and having Kepler, and then something comes up and says like, hey, there's a free mint since you own this, just basically do this. And it's like, and the NFT looked cool. I was like, oh shit, whatever, I'll do it. And then it drains what all this the free soul that I had in my wallet, you know. It's like, you would think there's a way for the developers or team at like that built that wallet to basically know like this is a shit smart contract, or it has some sort of vulnerability, like let's not like put this on our main wallet, right? And I find that to be good in Cosmos. That's not a thing. You know, it's just not. Maybe it gets there one day. I don't know. I don't think it will. But just people feeling safe too, and being educated. Like one of the things that really bothers, I don't want to say it bothers me because I feel kind of crappy to say this, but newer users that come into this space, they like give out their seed phrase or interact with something terrible, which is obviously horrible. It's unfortunate. But then they'll be like, oh, I was hacked. It's like, no, you weren't hacked. You basically, it's like, it'd be like you being on Facebook and saying, hey, I'm going to the Caribbean Islands for a week. I left my keys under the doormat and I have like $100,000 worth of things in my house. Like, feel free to like come in and take all my stuff. And then you come back from vacation and your house is like ransacked and everything's stolen. Well, it's because you told everyone, right? And it's unfortunate, but that's kind of like the thing. And then like, cause it scares people. Like, my line of work, I deal with older people a lot of times, like with older people, and they'll be like, oh, I'll be like, you need to email me, or can you, you know, can you send this form to me, right? And they're like, hey, what is your mailing address? And I'm like, I need this now. Like, I can't wait 3 days in the mail or whatever. You have to do it right now. Like, oh, I don't do emails. It gets hacked all the time. It's like, really, it doesn't. It's just, you know, but it can. So I get that thought process, but I think that's a negative thought too, because people, like, even I talk to people that are older, they'll be like, oh, that crypto seems crazy, it seems unsafe. It's like, it's actually really safe if you know what you're doing, you know. So I don't know, it's kind of my rant.
Yeah, so maybe let's just wrap up here. I have a few quick questions, like, first of all, what's the most what's the project that you are most bullish about for 2023?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to sound like a homer, but so like as Cosmos really keeps, you know, chugging along, I think like a lot of activity obviously goes back to Osmosis, right? Like Osmosis has became, you know, it's become, it kind of always has been of Cosmos as a whole, has been like the financial hub or whatever you want to call it, where everyone kind of transacts and swaps, you know, swaps data, swaps tokens, does all that. And then there's going to be things in the near future built on it, which will allow people that want to participate in DeFi to do other things like borrow and lend and all the things that you can do pretty much on a centralized exchange, all the different trades and things like that. So I think, you know, from that standpoint, that's, in my opinion, it's always kind of like a solid bet, because like you if you look at where the transactions are happening, you can do that on MintScan and see like the different amounts of transactions. Usually that's a place where it's like, you know, that's a solid place to be, or solid if you're, you know, not financial advice, but that's like a place where it's pretty sought after. I like Stargaze because it's newer and it's already has like 1,000 different collections on it. And it's kind of like, again, it's kind of like the place where people go to express themselves, you know, buy art and stuff like that. So I'm excited for that. I like Secret because it offers something different and unique. You know, it's like a privacy by default place where people can interact and do things privately, but also at the same time, they can still show their transactions if they need to for like tax purposes or whatever. So I think that offers something unique to the space that really no one else has. Yeah, I mean, those things. And then like Adam, I'm always like long-term on it. It's just, you know, and this is no disrespect to the Cosmos Hub, is, I mean, technically at this point in time of like what it is, I mean, really, it captures the overall value of the whole eco as a whole. But I mean, right now, and technically, it's kind of like just like a meme coin, because there's nothing built on it yet, really. And people out there are probably like, what do you mean? Like, you need the Atom. And that's another thing. I think a lot of the value from Atom right now is because of like newer people come in, they think you need the Atom token, but technically you don't need the Atom token for anything, really. But that's the beauty of Cosmos. It's like, if one of the chains goes down, right? Like, hell, I mean, I don't think it would ever happen. I don't see a rule that it would, but like the Cosmos Hub can crash and burn, and the rest of Cosmos will just keep going with the flow. Like, it doesn't matter. Which that truly means like there's no central point of failure. You know, it's like, imagine, you know, like you're on Solana, right? And you're like, I like this app, or I like Serum, or I like this. Well, what happens if like the whole planet of like Solana goes down? Well, everything on that just ceases to exist. And it's a lot easier on Cosmos because you can get action and you can get exposure to all these different sovereign states. And if one goes down, it's like whatever. I mean, we're all testaments of it, people in here that have experienced, like Terra and UST went to, you know, crapped overnight. And it's like, well, yeah, you really got hurt if like that's all your exposure was on Terra. But like, you know, if you're a part of the rest of the IBC gang, it's like whatever, you know, it sucked, but you're still in the game. And like, I always view this as like an investment standpoint of just keeping yourself in the game, you know, just fight until the end, like a team, right? You just want to be a scrappy team and just have a chance at the end of the game to win or whatever. And it's kind of like the IBC strategy is like, get exposure to a bunch of them, and all it takes is one or two of them to flourish, and it's like you probably will do pretty good in this sector. So yeah, and just like the growth of things that aren't even out yet. We were talking about earlier, gaming, music, things that are going to get people over here and use crypto because they just like it. Like, everyone games, right? It doesn't matter if the economy is shit or if it's real good, people are going to game. They're going to listen to music. And so I'm excited for those two to become a big part of this whole realm of things. And content creating too. Like, everyone expresses themselves, you know? It's like, they're all going to get into crypto. Oh, I didn't see you got rugged. Hold on a second. That was like an awkward pause waiting for you to say something back, but I didn't realize you got muted. But did you hear all that? My whole little rant
there? Yeah, I did. I did. I fell for 1 second for no reason at all. But yeah, I heard everything. Yeah, and projects to launch. Are you more excited about any of those? I mean, I already mentioned I'm excited about Say, but perhaps you have other one in mind. Also, Celestia is looking pretty good so far, but still a long way to come. Anything on Neutron as well? I heard a lot about this. Haven't had time to take a deep look.
Yeah, so definitely excited for Say. I'm excited for the things that are bringing over and making it easier for teams to either develop or send data back and forth. Like Landslide is going to be doing that with subnets. between AVAX and Cosmos. Excited for it's Nitro and I think it's Eclipse. They're building an SVM. So like how Ethereum Virtual Machine is, but they're building SVMs between Solana and and Cosmos. So like as a developer, you can build things in either or, and it's kind of like a hub or gateway, so to speak, where like it's easier to deploy things on both or get people together. And I'm always excited, and I know it like really pains people, but Juno, because Juno is the permissionless smart contract sovereign nation of Cosmos, and it's like it's so early, but there's already so many DAOs, and DAOs are very important, and I think it's gonna take a while still with Juno, again, because Cosmwasm's a relatively new smart contract language. It's way faster and more efficient than Solidity smart contracts, and you know, so it takes time because there's not, you know, all these, you know, developers out there, but the people that are really brilliant and the best developers, in my opinion, and from all the people that I spoke with in crypto, are people building on Terra and people building on Juno. So like, I'm excited for that. And I'm definitely excited for energy, like all, for everything, like, I don't know, mesh security, shared security, just all the developments over this 2023. I think it's going to be a really good year. I can't say like prices are going to go up because there's a lot of bad macros in the world, and it's kind of crap, but it has nothing to do with the tech side of it. So I'm just excited for 2023 to see all the different evolutions. And you know, I got to give him a shout out, is Jackal. So I'm really excited for Jackal. I've always loved data, been fascinated with data. And that's another way that businesses can enter this space, is think about like a decentralized Dropbox and have an end-to-end encrypted where Jackal can't even see your data, but you can use a solution instead of like Google Drives and paying, you know, X amount, exorbitant amount for data. You pay way less than that, and it's way more secure and fast. It might not be as fast as Google Drives, because it won't be, because it's not centralized, because you're using all these different storage providers throughout the world or whatever, but I'm excited for them. I think that's going to be a good play. And data is always king. Like data is not going to, it's not going to decrease. It's only going to increase over time and over the years and stuff like that. So I'm excited for them. But
okay.
I was going to say, it's been a fun conversation. I didn't realize like I was being interviewed, but I appreciate it.
Yeah. I want to pick your brain a little bit for our audiences as well. I mean, we have audiences for a little bit around the Cosmos. We have partnered with 44 chains so far. So I think we are getting pretty good in coverage. But yeah, most people, like I mentioned, even myself, are not aware of what's happening in the whole spectrum of Cosmos. There's so many things happening. And even Cosmos 2.0, I mean, the proposal itself, I'm not sure how that is going. I know that it got rejected. Trying to understand, do we already have any news on what will be the route to get this proposal to pass so that we can move on?
Yeah, I always get that question a lot. It's hard because, I mean, I'll tell you personally, I voted no for it, and it wasn't because I didn't think like it was good ideas or whatever. I find governance to be a little bit troubling in crypto as a whole whenever you have like a really long drawn out game plan. And I get it because sometimes when you have this like really long idea of things, it's almost like you need to break it down into parts. But then when you break it down into parts, it's hard and challenging. And it doesn't do me good to like say this, but it almost felt like a little bit of a desperation. And I hope that doesn't piss people off, but it's just how I feel about it. Like, I think, Atom has a ton of potential. I think it needs to be more organized. And you would think a business that's worth, I don't know what the market cap is, last time I looked, it was like 4 billion, would be like super organized and like this well-oiled machine. It seems to be that it's not as organized as it could be. And again, I'm not trying to fud it or whatever. I own a bunch of Atom. I want Atom to do really well. And I think it does. I just, I have, there's too many bright people behind it. It just needs the launch, you know, it shared security needs the launch and things like that. And I find in this space as a whole, this is nothing against Cosmos or Atom, you know, the Cosmos hub is that things need to launch and then you need to like ask for things and do things, right? Because like the end user wants to use things and do things and feel things before you're like, hey, let's take a bunch of money from the community fund. And at the end of the day, really all community fund is a tax fund, really, because it's like, it's your value, like your value is in there because you own that token, you're staking the token. So I think like when shared security launches, and then, I mean, I talked to the Circle team a long time ago back in May with at the permissionless event, and they were even talking about like native USDC on Cosmos, you know, and then like they would be, it would be like a consumer chain on the Cosmos hub. So that would be, that would be huge. So like, I think when that launches and that's going on, then you can revisit or rekindle like Atom 2.0, maybe modify it. I just found it to be like over, like convoluted with detail. And it's like, they did a really good job. And, but even myself, I had to read it like multiple times to like really understand what it was trying to do. And again, I think all the ideas were pretty good. But again, it almost came off as like desperation. And this isn't like an Osmo versus Atom or Cosmos hub thing at all. It just seems like, you know, really at the end of the day, like the Cosmos hub and people that built Cosmos are like, they're obviously, you know, the people that none of this would happen if it wasn't for them. But it's like, again, you have to have a product or have something to do on it. And like Osmosis has become that place where like everyone does everything. So it's like really, you know, and this is just me. Again, this might piss off like Atom OGs, but like what's more valuable or what's more, not more valuable in price, but like what's actually more valuable right now for people in this space to use, like in Cosmos? It's like Osmosis, you know, like a new team that's starting a new L1 or project, like they're going to get their token on Osmosis. So like it, by default, that has become like the hub, really, in my opinion. So it's like, well, how do we, you know, take part in that too and get people to come over to the hub? Well, let's build some shit on it first, you know, like let's get shared security and then do it. I'll vote yes, you know, I think.
Yeah, I completely understand and get your point. I felt that's too much discussion on the topic. We discussed this last time briefly. I feel that they should just go move and see how it went, and then we can revisit it a day later. I don't think that you're going to get all things right at first. So yeah, it's just a matter of accepting that some things will need changing in the future and just go with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, and you know, I like to say like timing is of essence, you know, like what I mean by that is people, no matter how good an idea is, like when the market's down and like technically maybe they're down in position or like, hey, I bought it for 10K, now it's only worth 4K or whatever, just use a random numbers. But they're a little bit more hesitant to say, oh yeah, go ahead and spend money. You know, like that's just the way it is. Now, if the market was ripping and Atom's at like, you know, $65 or $100 and people are like, yeah, let's spend money. You know, that's just kind of like human nature. You know, that's just the way it is. It even you can just look right now, like during COVID and things, and people, you know, they have substantially cut back, whether that's a business like a gigantic Glomoth business. You know, you could see people are like, oh, they laid off X, Y, and Z amount of employees. And these businesses are maybe they're even worth $1 trillion, like, you know, but people cut back whenever, you know, the market's not doing as well as it was. So that kind of hits it. And, you know, and at the end of the day, unfortunately, you have to spend money to make money. That's just the way it is. Like, you know, in this space, I think a lot of people have a wrong thing about that. They have like this weird notion. It's like, oh, people should do things for free, or like they shouldn't be asking for that amount of money. It's really hard to justify, like, okay, well, they're spending this much. And that goes to like Osmosis too. Like, they get a lot of heat because they have, you know, they have grants, and people get mad that like they're spending this money to acquire this team and they haven't deployed yet. And it's like, well, this does take time. And So it's tough, you know. Like, I honestly think if you asked me that question about Atom 2.0 and that question happened pre-Luna UST crash, like, it passes. It just passed. That's all I could say. It would pass. Whether people understood it or not, they're just going to say yes. That's just human nature.
Yeah.
It's just human nature. Yeah.
Completely agree, man. Yeah. So I think, like, on my ends, I had a little questions, a few topics, and a little list of questions that I wanted to get your mind wrapped around. But yeah, let me know if you have any questions on your end or any curiosity. Would love to clarify anything that you might want to know about Pulsar.
Yeah, for sure. So, like, with you guys, I mean, you guys are doing a great job, obviously. And that's not me just, like, brown nosing, because, like, I'm always appreciative of teams and people in this space that are building things. And even if that is something you build that necessarily doesn't bring USD value back to you or back to, like, the people that the developers or team that's building that in the short term, because it's like all these things need to be built. And again, it brings me back to, like, we have the cart before the horse, because it's tough, you know. You everyone has bills and they need money to pay for things. So it's tough. Because, and then, like, some teams don't want to just, like, take one on the chin and say, oh, you know what, we'll give you this grant. And I do think, like, Cosmos as a whole does a pretty good job of helping out teams that are building things that bring overall value. Because it's tough, like, as a business, it's like, okay, well, how are you going to bring value back to our blockchain at the end of the day? I mean, it's kind of just business 101. But for you guys, like, what is your future implementations? Like, what are you really trying to do that's going to make users like, hey, like, this is just a daily thing. I'm going to go over to Pulsar and check my portfolio and do things.
Yeah. So on our roadmap, we have a few features that we really want to highlight. So for this year, we are not only adding more chains as usual to complete the coverage of any user, but the main thing we want to focus on is something that I mentioned earlier, quite briefly. So the first goal for Pulsar would not only be to track your portfolio, but to give you more in-depth data. So one cool feature that we've been working on is, for example, right now you can see how much you have on a pool, right? But you have no idea whether that position has been losing you money or not. So, for example, what's the impermanent loss on your pool and farm. I think there's no cross-chain dashboard that gives you this data. And I think it's pretty valuable, right? You want to understand if you would be better off LPing or not as a finance product. So that's one of the first features. As a second, this is like small features in a big conglomerate, let's call it that. On a second feature that we're working right now, it's like regarding APRs. So we want to try to give users a more in-depth data on their APRs. So how much the APR is on every of your positions. That's the first thing. And then how much APR actually comes from, for example, pool fees, so that you also understand how healthy is the protocol and how much comes from incentivized rewards. So that's the second thing that we are working on. And that goes towards, like, providing user with more insights on their portfolio, together with what's the top performing positions on your last week, what's the worst performing positions, how are you positioned against stables, chain exposure, all these portfolio tools that a portfolio manager should have, in our opinion. So that's one of the features that we are working on. On a second angle, we are really looking to deploy more of an explore feature, like I was mentioning you early. When you go to such a fragmented ecosystem, you should be able to browse quite easily between the different projects, whether you want to deposit, whether you want to loan some assets, whether you want to get some farms with the best APRs for this amount of tokens or this specific stable. So yeah, that's something that we are working really, really heavily. We want to give a good experience. So for a user that has no balances or has a little bit of fiat, we want to provide them with the opportunity to find opportunities across the whole Cosmos for their asset class and their type of risk investment type. On top of that, we want to give users
So if you have specific positions, let's say you have Astro on your wallet, we want to give you insights together and bundled with this explore feature of potential opportunities or yield that you are losing out for not investing this Astro, for example, in staking or in these pools or in these new farms, and give you some explanations of what's happening and what has launched or where are new pools available for your tokens. This is something that we are working towards on the portfolio management side. On the other side, there's like monetization features, and that goes towards execution inside the project itself. So we want to work closely with more projects to allow users to go from one place to another, to deposit, to claim rewards, all that. But that's going to take a long time. Until we get that part right, we must first nail the user experience of tracking your assets and finding new opportunities. Once you do that, you stop sending people to the protocol pages or websites, and you start calling them to do the action inside your own web page. So yeah, that's a little bit of our plans for 2023, together with a lot more stuff coming, but that's still under wraps. But yeah, those are two of the most important projects that we are working around.
Yeah, I love that, because I get that question a lot, because a lot of people, they're I don't want to say they're afraid, but they're just really timid to provide liquidity, because they're like, oh, what about impermanent loss? And, you know, then I always come back, well, I believe in both sides of it, so I don't really care which one I get more of the other, you know. That's kind of like the attitude. But then, like, I don't have the time to sit there and do all the math and be like, oh, well, if I wouldn't have done that, this is what I would have made. So that would be an amazing tool to have that I would use all the time. And maybe that would make me think about things a little bit differently. Because the space does need to do a better job with that data. But not only that, like the DEXs or whomever needs to be able to use that data too. And maybe there's some sort of incentive. I believe in like impermanent loss protection. I think that's, in my opinion, is kind of a scam. But I don't agree with it. But
have you heard of Thorchain impermanent loss protection? I'm pretty bullish on them to fully disclose.
Yeah, I mean, but then like, where is that really truly coming from? Like, I don't know. Like, maybe it happens, but like, what happens if you were in Osmo and UST, and then like UST just went to zero?
Yeah, that happened to me. I can tell you that it didn't end pretty well. It didn't end well, basically.
But so, like, how do you protect against that? You know, like, I just think it's kind of like it's almost like, where does those funds come from? It's like you're recycling it from somewhere. So like, there has to be some sort of vulnerability with that philosophy. There just has to be. It'd be like you just giving me, you know, a bunch of money, and I'm like, oh, I have you protected. Like, well, how do I have you protected? Like, what happens if I got murked and someone just stole all your money? Like, where are you getting the money back from? You know, it's like, oh, well, you're protected. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I can never wrap my mind around that. People can say, well, I got this in place and that in place. And at the end of the day, I'm just like, just like I felt with BlockFi and full disclosure, I was never affected by any of these central places getting murked. Like, it just wasn't, because I have the background of like being in tech, you know, this kind of sector. It's like, well, why would I get into this highly more risky endeavor and then give all my funds to some jerk and just want like a 5% or, you know, less than 10% return on it? It just seemed like the risk and reward for me wasn't there. It was like, I'm not going to risk all this just for maybe this. It's like, if I'm in this space and I'm going to be in it, it's like, I want it to be on me. Like, if I make mistakes or something happens, I want it on me. I don't want some other person controlling my destiny. So like, I just from that philosophical point, like, I was just like, I never got affected by it, you know? And that's just kind of me though. But back to your point about like what you guys are implementing, I think that's a great place. And I think maybe potentially just throw like an idea out there, as like Cosmos evolves and crypto evolves, if you had like sub tabs at the top that's like, you know, gaming or music or whatever, data, like secure, like data, like you click it and then all of the different chains or apps that are specifically doing that kind of just like pop up for the person. Cause it's like, even myself, I'm so involved in Cosmos and, you know, I'm doing all this stuff. Even if NFTs, I think NFTs would be a good thing to have on there too, where it's like, different types of NFTs or whatever. So people can find it. Cause like, I get to the point where I need to ask the community, and if someone takes one for the team for me, I appreciate it. They're just like, just keep me in touch with stuff. Like, hey, I really like this project, or really like this NFT community, and the people are really good. And I never hold anyone accountable. Like, I only invest in things that I want to invest in. I'm not going to be like, well, you told me this and then it sucked or it went to zero. It's your fault. Like, I don't agree with any of that, but I need people to kind of help me out. Like, but it'd be nice to just be able to go to one place and look at all the data in front of me. And that's the biggest issue that I have in the space as a whole, is like the amount of monkey work that I have to do to like find things is just abnormal. And I get to the point where it's like, is this really all worth it? Like looking around, you know, do I really want to compound or put my rewards back into this pool and that pool? And if I do, I got to spend 20 minutes, 30 minutes, like looking at all the numbers. And then it's just like, you know, it's tiresome, you know, and I have time to do it. I do this. This is what I'm doing for a living. So it's like, I have time. Most people, you know, not most, pretty much all people won't have that amount of time to do that stuff. So we definitely need that, you know, and I think we're getting better with it. You guys are going to be doing this, and it's going to be great for the overall realm of things. So I applaud you guys and appreciate it for sure.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I feel that still. A lot of things are happening that I still don't fully agree on ecosystems. I think a lot of people are building the same projects. I believe in competition, but I don't believe in misuse of resources. So if you have 10 projects building the same thing, I don't think that's productive at all. I think that everyone should specialize and then partner up with whoever is building the best tech. Of course, in the beginning, you're going to get a lot of players and you get a lot of competition, which is healthy. But I think once you have already two or three main players building something unique, and if someone is building the same thing just out of it's just spending community funds or spending money that could be better used in that sense.
Yeah, I was going to add to that, like from my experience, because fortunately, I guess through all my grind that like teams kind of reach out to me a lot, and I'm fortunate enough to kind of talk with teams a lot of times before they're even a working product. And they kind of just like, I don't want to say they pitch me, but they just ask for what I think. And it's like amazing that people even do that, you know. But anyways, maybe like a team will reach out to me and say, hey, like, you know, I really like what you're doing for the space, and we really, you know, we would love to have some sort of collaboration or some sort of cohesion there. And you know, maybe they'll help me out in return or whatever for, you know, a couple months, or they'll just have me kind of like as an advisor. But then it's like they want me to market them or like kind of talk about them, but then everything's like hush hush. And I completely understand it, because the way I roll in this space is like, whenever I have a private call, like I'll never tell anyone about what we spoke about. I don't care what it's about. Like, I just, that's the way I roll in real life too, like with confidentiality and stuff like that. So, you know, through that, like a lot of teams just feel comfortable like talking to me or whatever, which I'm always grateful for it. But a lot of times it's like, you know, they'll tell me all these things that they want to do, and I like it, you know, and it's like, well, I can't go out and talk about it, because if I do, maybe someone just like copies and pastes their idea and it beats them to the finish line, you know. And that's kind of the problem in the space with, and it is, I guess it's kind of, it's like a survivor mentality, you know. It's, and I agree with you. And it's really prevalent with EVM, right? Like EVM, I don't even know how many good developers there are, you know. Like it's an older language, so it's a lot easier just like to copy and paste it. So people, that's all they do anymore, especially in EVM. It's like, you know, they just copy and paste their an application, rename it, you know, polish a turd or whatever you want to call it. That's what we would say here. It's like, oh, you're just polishing the turd. But you know, it is like they deploy on a chain, and it's just like someone built that from scratch, and now you're just copying and pasting it. And that's really an issue. And I do agree. I don't know how we get to the point where like-minded teams are just like, you know what, let's just build one cool thing. And I think that happens over time. I mean, that happened with the .coms and all that. These people had these ideas and then they just got bought up. And I mean, Amazon does it right now. Like I have a family member They built out a really cool application, and then Amazon just acquired it. And like, hey, we need you to move out to Seattle, and you know, you run this division, and they bought it out.
That's actually really nice. To be honest, I feel that in crypto, there's a lot of tribalism still, not only between chains, but even in the same layer one. Even looking at Cosmos, like what happened within Osmosis, Cosmos Hub, Kujira, like the open sourcing stuff. I think there's still a lot of tribalism. And if this, we're still so small. If this starts up like this, it won't be good for the long run. Right, because everyone's looking out of their own interests. And I feel that we should get less tribalism and more cooperation. And only like that, we're gonna get to even like the, we of course we are used to looking at stuff and compare it, right? That's the way human nature is built to be. Like even CoinMarketCap, it's a rank, right? And people are like, outshine one for the other and my coin topped yours. And that happens like since I remember, but now it's getting crazy to the point that you compare every single aspect of it, even the code. I feel that, of course, we are in a decentralized world, but everyone should feel, if the projects don't want to open source, you have to invest at your own risk, right? You have your own risk. If you want to invest, you invest. If not, you just invest in something else. I don't feel that it should be such a massification that you get huge arguments on social media. I feel that we should go past that in order to succeed as a community.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree with you. I just wanted to shout out, I know there's not a lot of people in here, but like Terra Spaces, they enhance the audio, make it better, throw it up on iTunes, Spotify, probably missing one. But it'll be out there, and I'm sure people will listen to it afterwards. I think it was a great conversation that I wasn't even ready for, to be honest with you, but I'm always appreciative to talk shop and kind of just like spit ideas and think about the future. And I think we're in solid hands, you know. It's hard to like gauge the time frame, because I don't think anyone ever knows. Like, people always make predictions. Like, Elon Musk makes predictions about stuff and it never happens, but that's just the way it is. But it's always fun to like think about the future. But I do believe we're in good hands. Tech always improves. Like, that's the thing I always get back to, is like, tech always improves, and there's a lot of brilliant minds in Cosmos, and it is decentralized, like you're saying. There's like a little bit of tribes, and people have their different thought processes and things like that, but you know, it's a little bit more challenging, because I feel like a lot of times the people that are just chill and kind of like relaxed, they tune out during the hard times, you know. So it's like their mindset, their mentality is probably needed during these times, you know. I try to just keep the peace, you know. People have different thought processes, and like, one thing, me getting a little bit older, I realize a lot of times that you can't really change people's minds. It's not really it shouldn't be your prerogative. You should just like do your thing and try to add value. And if people agree with you, they agree with you. If you're not, they're not. But even if you don't agree, like, just keep it chill. Like, you don't need to be a jerk about it, you know? And I think a lot of people in this space that like do crypto, and it's not, maybe not even necessarily just like Cosmos, but you know, they want drama, because at the end of the day, you know, they say like all news is good news, and some people they want drama, or they want like clickbait and stuff like that. And I stay away from it. I just don't think it adds any value to my life or what I'm doing. And I just appreciate like the people that are like building things and just keeping it 100 and just you know, trying to add value at the end of the day. And I think that's the way we move forward in our community, is just like, just chill. Like, look, we got great tech. We're not there yet. But just keep trying to add value, and you guys are definitely gonna add value, so I appreciate it. And I can keep talking about this forever, but I actually have a space to hop on in 30 minutes, so I'm probably gonna need to like drink some water and chill out for like 15 minutes before the next one.
Yeah, of course, I'm also gonna mention that it's getting extended, but yeah, it was great talking to you, man. Next time, hope we have much more news to bring to the show, and we can catch up like offline, not offline, but on a private call to tell you about like some secret sauce that we are working on and get your inputs as a heavy user on Cosmos.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Well, definitely. And we'll do another space, and we could even like have a couple teams come up, and football season's rearing its head. I used to do a Cosmos potluck every Sunday, which was like my favorite thing to do all week. And I would have like 2-3 different teams kind of stop by and talk shop, and it'd be really engaging. So I'm probably going to start doing that once the football season's over. And
that's nice, man.
Yeah, they were really good. A lot of people in the community were bummed out that I kind of stopped it. And it was just like, well, I'm doing this so much that I do need a little time to spend with my wife and hang out. But I'll be able to like maybe take a day off during the week and then just use Sunday as like an outlet to just talk shop about crypto. So I can move stuff around and accommodate. And as my wife sometimes, you know, she's like, you know, are you done yet? when are you going to be done? So it's definitely a tough balance that I'm trying to work on and improve on that. And that's the thing, like what you're doing just will make my life more easier. So then I'll have more time. Cause like I said, I monkey around for hours every day, like doing stupid shit. That's like, I feel like, come on, it's 2023 now. Like, why do I have to do all this like random digging around? Like, why can't it just be in front of me? You know? So I appreciate it. It's going to make my life easier. So
thanks, man. Well, thanks. Let's hoping forward to speak with you soon, and go enjoy your cup of water and talk soon, man.
All right. Take care. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for your time, man. Take care, man.
My pleasure. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Pulsar Finance AMA, hosted by Cosmos Haas. Recorded on Thursday, January 19th, 2023. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support there.
When we blow through the dust, volcanoes erupt. No one ever guessed that the game would be tough. Keep your hands off when the play is a bust. Plain old and just, so we keep it on the one. Blast off on the two, help me see the three. Third eye open wide, checking out the scene. Razor beam focused, star scream jokers. Living off the fat of the people they approach. Tell me what happens when the land fights back. With the cliffs at our backs, make the last stand matter. No one ever planned for the famine on deck. We was walking all a wreck with the dead man swagger. Sitting in a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fatal man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. In a little den, envisioning the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next bill. No one gave a shit till the drugs all dried up. Everybody died from a bad batch of Lysol, but it didn't matter. We was all hyped up when the pedal hit the metal. He just didn't have the right skill. Watched in the daytime till the night curfew. Rats in a cage till they make time to murk you. Got a little job that falls under my purview. We gotta get this mob away from the bird's view. Gotta find cover, wipe off the bird poop, ride off the work while you try on the worst juice. Blinded by perps who try to reverse truth, slide like Fox News just trying to lie to you. Eating up the slop like a bunch of hungry vagrants. I can't wait for the day they lock us up in stasis. Mock up a basement, could call me resilient. Waiting for the internet to make me a billion. Then envision in the middlemen. Listen to the fiddle man play a little ditty, then talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion. Talk about how all the leaders seem reptilian. Lost in the maze, trying to make the next billion.
Terra Spaces.